Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, the co-chairman of the IBM Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out about the endowment by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Dennis Dollar. Dennis is the chairman of the National Credit Union Administration. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Paul.
And joining us in our conversation is Deborah Kammer. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Paul.
Dennis, could you give us an overview of the mission and the activities of the National Credit Union Administration?
The National Credit Union Administration is the federal agency established by Congress, an independent federal regulatory agency, who's charged with the responsibility for chartering, supervising, and regulating all federally chartered credit unions in the United States, and administering the National Credit Union Share Insurance Fund, which is the equivalent, I guess you could say, of FDIC. What the FDIC fund is to the banks, the National Credit Union Share Insurance Fund is to credit unions. We insure the accounts of all depositors up to $100,000 and administer that share insurance fund. So we are the regulator of federal credit unions and the insurer of all federally insured credit unions, whether they be federally chartered or state chartered.
How big is your organization and what type of skills do the employees have?
Our agency has a little bit less than 1,000 employees. About 3 years ago, we were about at 1,050. We are now around the 945 range. We have been engaged in some efforts to try to streamline the agency and improve our efficiency some, but we're right in that range of 1,000 employees. We're a wide-flung organization as an examination and supervision agency that actually hires examiners that go into credit unions and conduct supervisory visits, that do examinations, that assign rating codes to the safety and soundness of America's credit unions. We have about 600 of our employees that are field-based. In fact, we have one of the highest percentage of employees that telecommute of any agency because they do not all operate out of a regional office somewhere. We do have six regional offices throughout the country, but they are supervisory in nature. Our examiners, about 600 of them, operate out of their homes. They go to the credit unions. They conduct their examinations. They come back and report through that regional office. Then we have here in Washington, actually in Alexandria, Virginia, which is where our headquarters is located, we have about another 400 employees that are the supervisory employees that are dealing with the regulatory issues as well as the oversight issues of those six regional offices and those 600 scattered employees. Most of our examiners come from an accounting or auditing background. They are examiners by nature, and so therefore they are very meticulous, detail-oriented compliance officers, but also have to be very good in the ratio evaluating mode and the asset liability evaluating mode. We have a very extensive training program that prepares them, and I think we've had tremendous success. America's credit unions have the highest asset level that they've ever had in their history. They have the highest capital position, which is a net worth position at any time in their history. We have never had one penny of taxpayers' dollars that has been required to bail out a federally insured credit union. It has been one of, I think, the true success stories of the financial services industry of our country. Even though it's a small segment, it's a growing and emerging segment, and we want to make sure that they're safe and sound as they continue to grow and emerge.
Can you give us a sense of how many credit unions there are in the country?
Right about 10,000 now, Paul. There was probably 10 years ago, there were about 20,000 credit unions. Credit unions have seen what a number of industries have, and that is a consolidation over the course of the years. So there are about 10,000 credit unions today. About 6,500 of those are federally chartered. About 3,500 of those are state chartered. But 97% of them are federally insured, and they range in size from a couple $100,000 in assets that might just be the credit union for a very small business or a small church or a small association, to the largest credit union in the world, which is Navy Federal Credit Union, which is closing in on, I think, in the vicinity of $13 to $14 billion in assets. The overwhelming majority of credit unions are small. Over 65% of them are $20 million or less in assets. But They meet a real need, I think, and the market continues to grow. And as it does, we want to make sure that these credit unions are not just here for this generation of credit union members, but for generations to come. And that's where our role comes in as regulators, examiners, supervision program.
Dennis, how would you describe the relationship between NCUA and the federally regulated credit unions?
Well, of course, we're their chartering entity, Deborah, but we also, once they are chartered and are in place, we have an ongoing safety and soundness evaluation program, an examination program, which every 12 to 18 months, we will go into every federally chartered credit union with actually a site visit. We will look at their policies. We'll pull loans from their loan portfolio. We'll look at their investment portfolio. We'll ensure that they are complying with all rules and regulations. We will examine their numbers and their ratios as it relates to safety and soundness standards that we monitor. And I would say that the relationship is the standard regulator-regulated relationship, and that is that they always dread seeing us to come, but they realize how important it is for the integrity of the credit union system that there be in place an effective system of regulation and oversight, and that's what we provide. We also work hand-in-hand with the state regulators in the 50 states for those state chartered credit unions. And because we are the federal insurer and most of the state chartered credit unions are federally insured, we oftentimes work hand in hand in a joint examination with the states when the states go in. So we oversee all of the federal chartered credit unions and we work hand in hand with the states on state chartered credit unions in our role as insurer.
Now, you mentioned the National Credit Union Share Insurance Fund. How would it be used in the event of a financial crisis?
Well, a financial crisis that resulted in the forced conservatorship or liquidation of a credit union would bring the share insurance fund into play to make sure that after all the assets of the credit union are liquidated and all of the liabilities are paid, that if there is any shortfall in what a member had in their depository account up to a maximum of $100,000, the same as the FDIC fund, then the National Credit Union Share Insurance Fund would make up that difference. And it is a very, very strong fund. As I said a moment ago, the fund has never been unable to not only meet any losses in credit unions, but to be able to meet losses and still continue to grow its equity level. In seven of the last eight years, we've been able to actually pay a dividend back to the credit unions that invested in the fund. This fund is not funded by taxpayers' dollars. It is backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. And if the fund ever exhausted itself, the full faith and credit of the United States government is there to back it up. But that has never happened. And in fact, we've never even seen our equity level go below 1%. And so we have a very strong fund. We've been able, as I said, in seven of the last 8 years to be able to pay a dividend back to those credit unions who funded the share insurance fund. They fund with 1% of their assets, and we adjust that on an annual basis based upon either asset growth or asset shrinkage. And they then keep 1% on deposit with us. We invest that. The earnings from that investment we use to be able to pay any losses that may come and also to build that equity level up to be able to cover against tough times or hard times. And as I said, we're very proud of the fact that unlike some of the other insurance funds, if you recall the savings and loan crisis of the 80s that cost the American taxpayers some $40 billion to be able to satisfy all of those claims, we've never had the first penny of taxpayers' dollars been called upon to bail out a credit union. We think that's a sign of the conservative nature of credit unions and how they do their business well. But I think it's also, if I pat our agency on the back a little bit, a sign of good oversight, good management, good integrity in our supervision process to make sure that we get a hold of problems early and don't ever let them get to a crisis stage if we can help it.
Dennis, can we switch gears a little bit? I'd like to have you explain to the listeners what your role is as chairman and how the three members of the board interact with you.
Well, Deborah, the NCUA board is a three-member board appointed by the president, confirmed by the Senate, that is the policymaking board for the National Credit Union Administration. We make and adopt and promulgate all rules and regulations that federal credit unions operate under and that help to administer the share insurance fund. As chairman, I'm designated by the president to be the presiding officer of the board, to set the agenda for the board, to be the primary spokesperson for the agency in all matters of dealing with other agencies, other regulatory agencies, the Congress, the administration, and the like. We have an excellent board. We have a three-member board at present that I think works together very, very well. We are required, as most regulatory boards are, to come from a bipartisan background. In other words, all three of the board members cannot be from the same political party. And we have presently myself, who's serving as chairman, Deborah Matz from New York, who is serving as one of our board members, and Joanne Johnson from Iowa, former state senator from Iowa, who is serving as the other board member. And we think we have a good board in place, and we think that some good things are happening in America's credit unions.
That's a good stopping point. Stick with us through the break as we continue our conversation with Dennis Dollar, the National Credit Union Administration. Have you heard of the initiative called Access Across America? We'll ask Dennis more about it when the Business of Government Hour returns.